thank you for downloading this episode of Squabblebox right here on the Trending Topics Network. Squabblebox is a live, interactive entertainment show that airs on Siren 107.3 FM every Monday and Thursday between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Throughout the show, we like to get your views and opinions on many different topics. You can get in touch throughout the week if you're listening to the podcast repeat by going to @Squabblebox on Twitter, squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, or our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. The music that you hear on the show has had to be edited for legal reasons on the podcast. Stay tuned, we love hearing from you, and let's get started with the show. Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. You are listening to Squabblebox. We're going to be with you until 1 o'clock today, talking all about technology. We have a huge show planned, but first of all, I would like to introduce you to myself, Kai Valentine, and my lovely co-host, Miss Maisie Anderson. How are you doing, Maisie?
Good morning.
Good morning, yes. Good. Is it a good morning, Maisie?
It's lovely outside.
It really is. It's a very nice day.
But I've got quite a pain in my neck, so it's not great for me.
Well, you know what? Hopefully we'll have some fun today and then we can go out and rest in the sun, maybe.
Will we, though?
Should really get on with dissertation work, to be honest.
Yeah, being realistic, we're not going to go outside.
Yeah, plus
we have patio furniture, but we don't use it.
No, plus I've got another radio show to do tonight as well, which is all fun. But we are going to be talking all about technology today. We want you to get in touch. Let us know all your thoughts on technology. What technology do you use now that you never thought that you would need in the past?
Yeah.
And this is the big one. What technology do you think is coming in the future? That's the one that I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on.
You know that you've said that. I am obliged to play any song from the Back to the Future soundtrack.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I think that's a given.
Yes.
I mean, we've done technology before. I think we did it on our first ever show on Siren.
No.
Almost a year ago.
No.
Because we talked about Back to the Future.
No, that we weren't doing technology. We were talking about the fact that it was the Back to the Future anniversary.
Oh, we did, yeah.
And that was our second week, I think.
But it's an
I don't trust
topic.
Your memory.
I don't trust my topic, my memory either.
Your topics.
My topics. So what we want to know all your thoughts on technology, anything, because it's such
we're keeping
a huge,
it so vague.
It's such a huge topic that we want you to get in touch and let us know what you want us to talk about, because there's no way that we can cover every with the things that have even happened this week with the Apple conference, everything that's coming, because it seems like a new
everything.
Piece of technology.
The Apple conference, the seems, other thing.
It seems that like a new piece of technology comes out every week, every day.
It might feel like that, but I think we've gotten cynical in our old age, Kai.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
In our old age of 20.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking, like, at the minute, I'm looking quite, like, I'm fastly approaching my 21st birthday at this point. And I swear I only just finished with my 20th.
Yes.
I'm also trying to plan it ahead of time because I don't want to end up just doing nothing. Because I know that's what's going to happen if I don't start thinking about it now in the first week of September.
Yep, definitely. But like I said, we want you to get in touch and talk all about technology. You can get in touch in the many different ways at SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Yes, you can. But it's time to get into our first segment of the morning, Maisie.
Yay!
And that is, can you believe that? This is where we ask, can you believe that a news story has happened this week? And I think there's only one that we could really do today.
Oh, yeah.
and that is, can you believe that last night was the opening ceremony of the 2016 Rio Paralympics?
I can believe it, Kai.
Yes, you can.
Because it's been scheduled for months.
Yes. Years, I thought you were going to say something else. I thought you were going to say, I can believe it, Kai, because you woke me up going to bed at 2:30 this morning after staying up to watch the ceremony.
To be fair, I was already awake.
Yeah, true.
I just heard you going to bed.
I watched the ceremony last night. It was absolutely fantastic. We'll touch on that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But first of all, Maisie, I want to ask you, do you know what Paralympics actually, what the word Paralympics actually means?
I should do.
Don't worry, because I've got the answer. I wouldn't
I know
bring
you
it up
do,
if I didn't.
But I feel like I should know.
I didn't know. I didn't know before
I know
last
the
night.
Word para means, like, because when you hear the word, because this is the thing, doing linguistics,
I learned
how to, like you were always taught to sort of separate words into the, and then find their origins. Like, para means sort of, like, parallel, so to or equal to.
The definition of Paralympics was originally meant to
mean... Is it like equal opportunities?
Parallel to the Olympics.
Ah, yes.
It's not exactly the most difficult question of the morning. We should have probably done it as a quiz question.
My GCSE English teacher would be so proud.
That's very true. But I think it's a really cool thing. And originally, it was set to get injured servicemen involved in the Olympics.
Mm.
However, it's evolved from there into what they're describing as the Paralympic spirit.
Yes.
And the Channel 4 have got the right to broadcast it this year, as they did in 2012 and I believe 2008 as well.
I think 2012 was the first one. They might have had it in 2008, but 2012 was when it was a big deal.
And this is the first time that this is the largest number of disabled presenters ever shown on television for one set of programming in history. It's a new record.
Yay!
And it's been advertised everywhere over Channel 4's programming over the last few months. We've touched on it before, the Yes I Can advert.
Yes.
That's awesome, isn't it?
It is a really good advert. I finally got round to watching every version of it.
Yeah, I think I've seen every version of it.
Because there was a sign language, the regular sort of descriptive one. Yeah, there was the audio description, the sign language, the regular one, and then there was another one, wasn't there?
The one that I liked was the sign language
guy. The sign language guy was amazing.
Because he didn't just stand in the corner like a lot of sign language interpreters do. He stood in the corner and then
he danced,
and then he had different costume changes to go along with it. Do you know the guy who came down the ramp in that one?
Yes.
In the wheelchair, and he went down the ramp and did the flip. He did that in the opening ceremony last night as well. Yeah, that was the very beginning. What it did was it counted down from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, and every time that it went to a different number, a flag dropped down with that number, and then the zero fell down. He came down the ramp, flipped through the zero, and onto the pads at the bottom, which I thought was really, really fun.
It was really cool.
It was awesome. Some other highlights from the Olympic ceremony, though, were the fact that they did a tribute. It started off with a tribute to the wheel, and in a samba circle, and it was the same as the Olympic ceremony, where the floor was projection. Was it projection, Maisie?
It wouldn't have been projections.
Or was it LCD? I don't know what...
Screens.
Yes, screens. That's the right word,
Because if it was projected, that would mean that everybody on the stage would be producing a shadow.
Yes.
That would then break the projection apart and it wouldn't look as good.
Some of the best things, though, about it were, like, they did and then they had everyone come out, and the thing that I might have cheated a little bit whilst watching...
How do you cheat at watching a TV show?
Because it's a very long ceremony. I mean, it went on from 9 o'clock until 2 a.m. But because we watch Bake Off during the last leg from 8 o'clock, I then had an hour where. Oh, and then we watched Our Girl. So I had an hour, an hour and a half that I could.
You would
skip
have had
forward.
Like nearly 2 hours. Yeah.
So what I was able to do is, you know, the bit where they come out with the flags.
You didn't.
I was able to skip through a little bit of that. But I wanted to make sure that I saw the creativity side, but on that one, I did watch it at like +8, x8 and x30. Just a little bit. But there was some really, really cool stuff. They did a deconstruction of the eye, and then they had two blind ballroom dancers dancing together, and it was so amazing because they showed them dancing, and it wasn't till afterwards that the commentators explained that they were blind and that they were doing everything by just touch and knowing where each other was. And
Each other were.
And it was just really, really fantastic to see. But then the one that sort of got me thinking was the Amy Purdy, who is an American snowboarder Paralympian, who danced with Kuka, the robot, and the dance was entitled Technology and Us.
Yeah, which I'm assuming sounds a lot better in Portuguese.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But as soon as they said Technology and Us, I was there like, oh, wow, it's as if... Because we'd thought of doing technology before we'd even really thought about the Paralympics, and we were there like, oh, wow, this fits so well, it's as if it's meant to be... That was my thoughts at 1:45 this morning anyway.
Yeah, probably quite sleep deprived. But it's okay though, because you skipped over the important bit of the opening ceremony, which is welcoming everybody from every nationality and country into the Paralympics.
I did see most of them. I just skipped some of it to catch up. But I did... I thought it was really, really cool. Are you looking forward to the Paralympics?
Of course I am. I love the Paralympics.
What do you love about it so much?
To be fair, I have to admit, I do prefer the events at the Paralympics.
Yes.
Because they're just so much more fun. Because obviously everything has to be adapted. So they do have the same things that you have in the Olympics, the swimming, the cycling, the races. But they have some of their own games that the regular Olympics don't... Well, the Olympics don't have. And including... all of the wheelchair sports, and I love those.
Yeah,
I love the fact that they have welders on site.
You were saying this on the way here,
weren't
you?
I love it.
It is really, really cool. Some of the other stuff that's going on, some of the people that I've been told are really, well, some of the ones to watch out for, Ellie Simmons.
Mm.
Now, she has been on all the promotional material over the last few, well, she was, because I didn't know this, but she was 13 when she first took part in the Paralympics.
Was she?
13 in Beijing. She's representing Great Britain, and she won 2 gold medals.
I didn't know she was that young.
Yeah.
We were still pretty young at the time.
She's a swimmer. And then when it got to London 2012, when she was 17, she won another 2 gold medals. So she's won 4 gold medals and she's only just turned 21. which sort of, and myself and Maisie have just gone, oh no, that just, what have we been doing with our life?
We've been doing a show on Siren FM, that's what we've been doing.
And I was watching an interview with her last night and she was like, yeah, what have you been doing in the meantime? Well, I've been trying to squeeze in my GCSEs. I'm like, oh wow, that's amazing. But she's one to watch out for. Johnny Peacock, the runner, he did really well in 2012. Sarah Storey, she is tied with 11 Paralympic titles. That's amazing. She's a former swimmer, so she was a swimmer in the Paralympics.
Yeah.
And then she just decided, you know what, I'll switch it up, and now she's a cyclist, and she's won medals as a cyclist as well.
Yeah, you know. Why not?
And then there's Lee Pearson, who was our flag bearer last night for the dressage, and I'm just really looking forward to it. But the guy that I'm getting behind, Maisie, there is a country that I'm getting behind. I'm getting behind Great Britain, of course, but I'm getting behind Gabon. Do you know why I'm getting behind Gabon? Because I was watching them all coming out. This is when I caught up. So I was sitting through watching them.
So after you decided to ignore like the first half, you watched the second half.
Gabon have only got one representative and his name is Edmond Mungombe. He is only the second athlete to represent Gabon in the Paralympics, and he's running the men's 100 metres, and I'm really hoping that he wins. He is my... I'm going to support him all the way, because I was watching him come out, and you see, like, Great Britain have 251 Paralympic athletes.
Isn't that
the game.
That's a record, isn't
that's
it?
That's a record for Great Britain. America have even more, and then you just see Gabon come out, and Edmond Mungombe.
He has to be the flag bearer for himself.
No, he had a flag bearer, but the guy wasn't, because he was walking with crutches, I think.
But it
was there like, oh wow, I want him to do well. I'm getting behind Gabon in this Olympic game, Paralympic Games.
Well, yeah, because how well do you know the Winter Paralympics?
Not.
Or just the Winter Olympics in general?
Not massively, if I'm honest. I'm not even massively well known on the... I don't know much about the Paralympics, to be honest.
My mum and dad watched the winter ones. And the interesting thing is that you get the same situation where countries like Canada and Russia and England have all of these huge Winter Olympic teams. And then you get, like... the one guy from a Caribbean island somewhere, and he's the only one there representing like a whole island, because you know he's the only one there who does winter sports.
Yeah,
because it's not a winter, because you know it's just the way that things are. It reminds me a lot of Cool Runnings. And the fact that everybody's so surprised that there's a Jamaican bobsled team.
the final thing I want to mention before we go into another song is that Marcia Malsar, she is the lady who was in the final sort of the final leg of the Olympic torch run, and she was carrying the torch. And you might have seen this because it's been trending on Twitter all morning. She actually fell with the torch, and everyone in the stadium, everything stopped. Everyone went quiet, and they saw her fall. As she fell, everyone went quiet, and then she got back up and she carried on with it. Mm. And I have never seen a stadium erupt that much.
It was so lovely.
And I was watching it live, and like, you can watch it back now, and people who are watching it this morning are probably going, oh, well, we know that she gets up. But I was watching it live going, oh, I really, really hope that. And I was like, it was 2 a.m., and I'm not. On Monday morning, we were asked, when was the last time you cried watching a TV show?
Yeah.
And this is probably not really technically a TV show.
It's an event.
It's an event. But I was very, very close to tears at that point.
Because one of the lovely things is that obviously two of the stagehands came out to help her, and it was the fact that they were so smiley. They were just like, no, you're good. You're all good.
And then she just sort of went, no, back off. I'm okay.
No, I'm fine. Sleepy.
Are you as excited for the Paralympics as we are? Get in touch and let us know. We'll remind you of all the details when we get back from the next song. But Maisie, what are we heading into?
We are heading into a very old song.
Oh, really?
Something from our... probably from... I think it's from our childhood.
Oh, well, it's not that old then.
Feels old. God is a DJ by Pink. We'll be right back after this.
Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. You are listening to Squabblebox. We are your interactive entertainment show right here on Siren FM. It's 11:25. It's Thursday. We're talking all about technology. We're going to be with you until 1 o'clock today, talking all about technology and playing some of your favourite music. Now, Maisie, technology... it's such a huge, huge topic.
Yeah, we've left it quite open-ended this week.
And that's why we want people to get in touch and let us know what you want us to talk about. What are some of the technological advancements that have meant the most to you? What technological advancements? I'll get that right before the end of the show, basically.
How much sleep have you had?
Not much. I was watching the Paralympic opening ceremony, I told you. What technological advancements do you see coming in the distant or near future? Mm-hmm. Get in touch in the many different ways on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Now, during that last song, Maisie, I turned round to you and I said that I think that really the first big technological advancement would have been the wheel. Now, are you laughing at me there, Maisie?
Yes.
Yeah, why are you laughing at me?
Just because, to be fair, you're probably right. I don't know what that, because this is the thing, it's the idea of technology is very vague and it changes from generation to generation.
Because the two big things that I can think of that man first sort of had the big, yeah, we've made this thing, are fire and the wheel. But we didn't really make fire.
You've been watching 90s cartoons again, haven't you?
We discovered fire. I was watching a lot of SpongeBob as a kid.
we discovered fire and I don't...
But we made the wheel.
Mm. So
I would class that as a technological advancement.
I suppose, yeah.
Because I just Googled the definition of technology.
Oh, okay, thank goodness.
So the definition of technology is a noun, if you didn't already know that. And it says that it's the application of scientific knowledge for practical purposes, especially in industry.
Okay.
So that, to me, does say that I think the wheel would be the first technological advancement, because if we had never made the wheel, then it's very unlikely that we'd have gone on to make a lot of other things.
Well, we'd have figured it out eventually.
Yeah, I know, but if we hadn't have made it.
Yeah, but there is a form of science to it, because the way that the wheel works, there is scientific elements to it. The fact that it has to be the way it is, and yeah, angles and stuff, and you know. Science words.
Yeah, sciencey words.
Science words.
We'll put a disclaimer out there now. Myself and Maisie, I'm a drama student. She's a film and TV student, which means that we can vaguely act like we know what we're talking about, even when we don't.
I know a surprising amount about computers and cameras.
I bet inside a computer, they use a wheel.
Yes, but it's a fan, and it's to cool the thing down.
But the fan wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the wheel.
Okay, you really need to stop hard selling the wheel.
Right. I think we all understand that the wheel is a very important piece
of technology.
The wheel is very
nice. Everybody likes the wheel. It's okay, Kai. No one's disagreeing with you yet.
But let's move on and let's talk about things. Because we're quite lucky in that I was born in 1996. You were born in 1995. Mm-hmm. Which means that Maisie's like,
just
yes.
Giving people my birthday. Thanks.
My birthday. I didn't tell them the whole details. But one of the things that we've been lucky is that we've grown up with a lot of technology either already being in place, or a lot of stuff came into place whilst we were very young.
Now, I have qualms with that statement.
Okay, go on.
I get really annoyed when, and it even happens with people who are only like 5 years older than me, who go, oh, you and your technology, you've always been surrounded by technology.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you guys don't know how to speak to people. It's like, I do. No, I very much know how to talk to people in a regular conversation. I'm not scared of calling people on the phone. And yes, I do know what an email is.
And I have written a letter before, Grandma.
No, it's one of those things where I get really frustrated when people keep telling me that, oh, your generation. So, like, what about my generation? It's not my fault.
Yeah.
That I grew up with the internet. But more specifically, it doesn't mean that I don't know how to look up a book.
We won't rant on about this the whole time.
Yes, I will.
But I do understand.
You can't stop me.
I do understand what you're saying, Maisie, because, you know, we're from the same generation in that we've been told, we get told a lot that we've grown up with a lot of with a lot of this new technology, people think that we've always had really, that we've had smartphones, for example, and the internet. But
yeah,
I still remember going down to my friend's house and he had dial-up internet where he had to attach it. Because I remember my friend Sam, he lived a couple doors down from me when I was younger, and some nights I'd ring him to see if he was coming out to play, and I couldn't get through to him because his brother was using the telephone cord as the internet. And now I didn't have that, but we didn't have the internet at that point at all. So it wasn't like I was ahead of the time.
Now, I have to admit, my family did have the internet early.
Yes.
That was mainly because my dad works with computers, and because he and because of the way his work worked, it meant that he also had internet at home. Me and my sister were allowed to play with it. And this is the thing. A lot of people from other generations say, oh, you're so lucky, you have the whole internet at your fingertips, a whole world of information. When I was little, there were two things that I could do on the internet. I could look at the Barbie website, which wasn't the Barbie website we know now, with the games and the catalogues and the colouring in books. It was just a page with Barbies on. Different Barbie. It was like a collector's page.
It was like going on Google Images
and it was
typing
like
in Barbie.
But the thing is, once you were on that page, there was no way of getting off it. They didn't have an X button or anything. So if you were on it, you had to then close the whole internet down if you wanted to go on something else. There was that. And at one point, there was the BBC website. The CBBC website came online.
Yes.
And there wasn't much to that either.
No.
It was literally just colouring in books and like putting little shapes to make drawings and stuff. That's the internet that other generations are so jealous of.
I do know that my grandparents and your grandparents and people who are of an older generation listening at home are probably sat there now going, they're complaining that they had this thing where they could go on the internet and look at Barbies.
Yeah.
I couldn't go and look on the internet and look at Barbies. I didn't have this anything at all. We went outside and played. And that is true. We did that too, though.
I remember going outside and playing a lot.
I think we were quite lucky, maybe, that we were sort of on the border. So we had the best of both worlds, to quote Hannah Montana, Disney Channel. Wow, I'm showing my nerdiness as a child.
Not really nerdiness.
Not nerdiness, just a bit weird.
Well, that's the other thing. My grandparents love technology. And there's this whole sort of weird stigma about sort of the older generations not wanting to go near technology and being like afraid of it. I don't know a single person who's over the age of, say, 60, or if they're even like, or those of a retired age, who don't love technology.
Yeah.
Because it's something that was in sci-fi books when they were kids, and it's in front of them now.
Yeah, even us as well. We've seen stuff that was only in sci-fi when we were younger, and now we've got it, like video calling. But we'll touch on that sort of stuff a little bit later on. But let's concentrate on the grandparents thing, because my grandma and granddad are the same. My grandma is on Facebook, and it took her a little bit of time to get used to it and understand how everything works. But I only know how Facebook works because I was taught at school. Well, not Facebook, but I was taught a basic stuff about the internet.
Yeah.
And, like, my grandma loves going online and searching for things now. Same with my granddad. My granddad watches YouTube on the television. if that's not the definition of someone who knows his technology, then I don't know what is.
It depends what he's watching.
I don't think my mum could go and watch YouTube on the television. I don't think she'd know how to do it.
Yeah.
But my granddad, yeah.
See, this is the thing. I have very technical... technology savvy parents, because my dad builds computers, that's what he does, that's his job, and my mum learnt from him because they've been together for so long now. You don't live with someone who can build computers and stuff without learning a couple of things. But they're also quite big into gaming.
Yes.
So obviously we always had computers in the house, and we always had two. I was the weird kid at school who had two computers. One was my mum's and one was my dad's, and they would play games together on the computers. They would play a game called Neverwinter Nights a lot, and it was, the internet had been around for a long time by then, so they were talking to people from Canada, and that was what their little guild group was.
And you just thought it was amazing that...
No, I thought, Mum, can you please spend some time with me, please? I'm kidding. No, my parents did not neglect me, but I remember thinking, I want to play that, and I tried, and I wasn't very good at it because I was five.
Yep, that's true. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about mobile phones, because it's been the Apple conference this week. They've revealed some stuff that's coming up for their new iPhone 7, and also we can talk a little bit more about phones that we have owned in the past. But you are listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. This is Squabblebox, and we're going to go into another song now, so stay tuned to Siren FM. Talking all about technology today, that was Coldplay with Yellow. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. As I say, we're talking about technology. Maisie, let's talk a little bit about mobile phones.
Yes.
Because this is something that has been a huge, huge technological advancement in our lifetime.
Mm.
When we were younger, there were mobile phones, But they were nothing like the mobile phones that we use today.
They were actually phones.
They were phones, which to quote Goodnight Sweetheart, the BBC's reunion show from last week, where they turned around and they went, I just want to call somebody. And he went, what? That's not what happens in a mobile phone anymore.
It's there. The option's there.
Oh, yeah, the option's there. But that's one thing that's always amazed me, the advancements that mobile phones have made.
Now, I was quite late to mobile phones.
Okay.
Because the thing is that because me and my sister were 3.5 to 4 years apart, which sounds weird, like it varies. It doesn't. We're 3.5 years apart. So by the time that my sister was about 14, that was about the right age for her to get a phone. Because that's when all of her friends were getting phones. It was around about her birthday. It made sense to get her like a little flip phone. And it was all well and good. And she was the first person in my household to have a mobile.
Yes.
Which made sense, considering that she was the one who was out every other day doing stuff. Now, the rule was, and the rule has always been for me and my sister, whatever age my sister can have something, I get it at that same age. So I had to wait until I was 14 to get a phone.
Oh, really?
Which meant that I had to wait 3.5 years. Which is bad when you consider that by the time, 3.5 years after my sister first got a phone, and even she was a little bit late to the game, all my friends had them, and that's when smartphones started appearing as well. So people were getting the internet on their phones, and so I was the only one who didn't have one.
So you actually missed out on quite that period, because
Well, this is the nice bit of the story.
Okay.
This is my favourite bit of the story. Basically, because that was always the rule, I was complaining a lot, because by the time I got into high school, all my friends had phones. I was the only one without one, and I was starting to feel really left out. Even though it didn't really matter, like, I didn't have a reason to have one, but having one would have made me just a little bit cooler. So, but the thing is, my sister understanding this, and because we were, we were still reasonably close in age, so she got it, she understood why I was upset. So for my 13th birthday, she turned around to my mum and she said, if I buy Maisie the phone, does that mean that kind of boycotts the whole waiting another year thing? So my sister bought me my first ever mobile phone for my 13th birthday so I wouldn't feel left out.
Oh,
despite
that's really
the fact
sweet.
That it meant that I was getting one a year earlier than she did.
Yeah, but she'll understand that times have changed.
Yeah.
And the
best thing is that it was from Woolworths.
Woolworths.
It was a
wow.
Woolworths. She wanted to get me the one that had zebra print on it, but instead she had to get the plain one because the zebra print one was was all sold out. But it was a great phone. It did what it needed to do.
I had a phone from a lot younger age than you. I think I was... And now, I do want to preface this by saying that I didn't ever have a phone bought for me until I was about... I think I was 15 when I had my first phone that I had bought for me. The rest have been hand-me-down phones.
Yeah, because after that I had all my sister's old hand-me-downs. Yeah.
Now I had, and you don't get hand-me-down phones anymore. No one seems to hand them down anymore. But I had I don't know what it was, but it was around the time of the Nokia 3310. But I didn't have that. Now that's 16 years ago. That's 16 years old this week. Is the Nokia 3310, and that's an amazing phone.
Yeah.
That is indestructible. I took one of those to Leeds Festival, and it stayed charged the entire weekend, and I was even able to play Snake.
that was one thing that was always disappointing, is that phones don't come with Snake automatically anymore, and I wish they did.
I still remember my dad had the phone, which became my first phone, and it had a keypad on it. It was a flip. It was a flip phone. I call it a flip phone. It had a cover, and then a small screen, only about an inch, an inch. In height,
so
and
like it was a tick. It was more like a ticker tape than it was an actual screen.
But you could play Snake on it, and it had a stopwatch on it. So that meant that I've told this story before.
Yeah,
I think where I used to just time myself going round the block on my bike and try and beat the time.
See, we did do things before the internet.
Yeah, we did, and that's how I had. That was my first phone. I think I was around 6 years old when I had that handed down to me. But that was only something that was handed down to me. It was never anything that was massively expensive. Then I had a Sony Ericsson for quite a few years, and then I've gone on to the iPhones and the smartphones since then. I've since dropped down to to another model, which I won't say now that I've slated it.
I'm pretty sure it's not even in they're not manufacturing that model anymore.
I don't believe
either.
They are anymore.
Because this is the thing, I go cheap with phones. Yes. I used to, at least, because I spent most of my teenage years being given hand-me-downs from my sister.
Yeah.
Then I went on to cheap little brick phones, and I was happy with that because all I ever did was text people.
I was just happy to have something that I had a stopwatch on, and I could phone my mum to tell her that I was going to be having tea at Ryan's house.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need.
Yeah.
But I've never had I was actually really against smartphones up until university. Because up until then, I thought, oh, it's just a distraction. If I have a smartphone, I'll just be on it all the time. I won't get any work done. I wasn't getting any work done anyway because I had a laptop. But I decided to get a smartphone for myself when I came to uni. And I still went really cheap with it. It only cost like 50 quid.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a lot. But in reality, for a phone, it's not. And it didn't last very long. And then I lost one in Meadowhall.
Oh, yes, you did.
And what I ended up doing, all in all, I ended up finally biting the bullet and buying an LG because I really wanted to relive the days when all my friends had LG cookies and I didn't.
I had an LG cookie. I was a little bit late to the party, but I had an LG cookie for many years.
I'm pretty sure my dad had... Was the one with the cookie, the one where it would slide open and it had the keypad underneath?
No.
My dad had that one.
The LG cookie was the touchscreen one, which came with a pen.
Yes.
But yeah, I had one of those. But let's talk a little bit about modern, because there have some. We take the Mickey out of it and we say, yeah, oh, we didn't need this sort of stuff. But actually, there's been some amazing advancements. And like, I use my iPad for everything, my tablet for everything.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, especially when you go over to when you go to take photos with celebrities. And you give them that, like, your iPad to take a selfie with.
Maisie will never get over the fact that we had a selfie with comedian Chris Ramsay, who is coming back to the Engine Shed in March next year. 29th of March. Tickets go on general sale tomorrow, Friday morning. I've already bought my ticket in the pre-sale, but I cannot wait. Engine Shed, 29th of March, here in Lincoln.
Well, this is the thing. Even he thought it was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And the worst part was that it's also a terrible picture.
It is. But let's talk about some of the technological advancements, because yes. It was the Apple conference this week, and everyone's been talking about the new iPhone 7. The big talking point from it is that Apple are dropping the 3.5 millimeter headphone jack in its new iPhone 7.
Yeah.
To make it thinner and to make it more waterproof.
It's a bit risky, though.
It is a massive risk.
Because they were told that legally they have to provide the Bluetooth headphones that have to come with it, otherwise you can't listen to anything privately.
Now, you can. There is a way, because you can listen to it through the charging point.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Which you don't understand.
I don't understand.
You've mentioned this to me already. You're probably going to have to do a bit more reading into it. I've not done much reading into it.
How can it do two things?
But it does.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that they're not misleading you. I'm just confused because I want to know how that works.
This is according to TheVerge.com. And they're saying that on this article that I'm reading now, that you can actually listen to it through the charging port. There's a special, but then again, you're going to have to buy some special headphones.
Exactly, and they're probably going to cost quite a bit.
Or you can get the Bluetooth headphones, which are probably going to cost quite a bit as well.
They come free with it.
But how often are you going to lose Bluetooth headphones?
That's
have
the
you
thing,
seen
a
the
lot
size
of
them? They're
yeah.
tiny.
But they're also, they look exactly the same as regular headphones, just without the wire, which looks really weird when you...
Yeah.
When you put them in your ear, you've just got that little bit of nothing hanging off now because there's no wire in it.
But one thing that's been confirmed over the last few days at the conference is that people have been saying, but what if I don't have the Bluetooth headphones and I want to charge my phone whilst listening to music through headphones? Well, there is a solution, because you can buy another add-on. Which you, there's a picture of it there, Maisie. I'll put it up on our Twitter, where you slip it into the, you insert it into the charging port, and then it's like an adapter.
Yes.
So it's just another add-on.
It's a bit like having a speaker dock, but there's no actual speakers. It's just to have a port in it.
Yeah.
It annoys me that. They're finding ways of charging people more money to do basic things.
But on the flip side to that, just for balance as well.
Oh, of course.
They are fantastic products, so it's probably not going to stop me from buying them. But I would like to think that I do hope that they do go back to the, once they get this whole phase of, I wonder whether the whole waterproof thing is a little bit of a gimmick and a little bit of a phase. But then I think, actually, no, because so many phones are destroyed by... Maisie's looking at me going, she's a guilty one here. I think we've all had that moment where we've dropped phones and had to put it in rice.
Yeah, do you not remember me panicking because my current phone I dropped?
I do.
And it wasn't working for ages, and I thought I'd have to fork out another load of money that I didn't have to buy a new one.
Like I say, you put it in rice... Leave it for a few days.
Well, that was the
dry
thing.
Dry rice, not boiled.
I put it in rice, and it had dried out, but the screen wasn't working. And I got to the, and this is the thing, and I felt so stupid for doing it. I decided, I'll turn it on before I leave, because me and my partner were going to go to the intertown to find someone who could tell me what was wrong with it, and whether it was worth fixing, how cheap it would be. So I turned it on before I left, thinking, okay, well, it's better turn it on now because it'll take ages to load up when I'm there and I don't want to be stood there turning my phone on. So turned it on, put it in my bag. I got to the actual store where I was going to ask sort of what's up with it. I handed it over and went, see, it's not working. I unlocked it because the touch screen had started working again on its own, and I went, of course.
That's
of
brilliant.
Course that happens.
Oh, well, we're talking all about technology today. You can get in touch. What we want to know from you now is we want to know, what technological advances do you see coming in the near and distant future? What do you want to see, or what do you predict will be? What do you predict the world will be like in 15 years' time from now? Get in touch at SirenFM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or, as always, you can text in on 077 97 800 716.
Or via the Radio Player app. We're going to be going into a couple more songs now before we head off into the news, but we'll be back talking more about technology just after 12 o'clock. Stay tuned to Siren FM.
Good afternoon. It is 12:05. This is Siren FM, and you are listening to Squabblebox with myself, Maisie Anderson, and my lovely co-host, Kai Valentine.
I'm glad that I've been called your co-host this week, because I was listening back to the other week when you called me your assistant.
You are my glamorous assistant.
Maisie, I'm from Yorkshire. I've never been called glamorous at anything. But we're talking all about technology today. It's very, very vague. It's very, very open-ended. We want to hear all your thoughts on technology. One thing that we're going to be touching on in this hour is technology that we see happening in the future. That was Power of Love from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. We'll get back to that in just a second. But what we want you to do is get in touch with us on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or, as always, you can text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Yes, you can get in touch with us. Anything to do with technology, your thoughts on what we've been talking about earlier on in the show. We love hearing from you, and we'll talk more as the show goes on. But let's talk about Back to the Future, Maisie.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of our first shows on... We're a bit contested whether it was our first show or not, but I think it was our first, you think it was our second show on Siren almost a year ago, where we talked about Back to the Future.
We did, because it was the anniversary.
Yes.
It was the 21st of October. It was around the week of the 21st of October 2015, which is the location for the first half of the second film.
Yes.
And they predict, and the whole point is that they predicted so much stuff.
They did. And like you've touched on before, there is some stuff that was predicted that have come true naturally, and some stuff that was created just because of the show.
It was inspired by the movie.
But I think we should touch on a few of the bits, Maisie, because some of the stuff that's technology now that wasn't back then. Wearable technology.
Yes.
That was something that was big in Marty McFly's Back to the Future 2. They'd be using headsets at dinner. What are you laughing at?
Sorry.
What are you laughing at, Maisie?
I understand what you're trying to say. It's just you rude. It's technically, you wouldn't say it's Marty McFly's because he's the character, not the actual creator.
I know. I'm just making a little bit of conversation. Gosh, Maisie.
You are making conversation. I'm just pointing out that if you were to cite that, Harvard referencing would be very mad at you.
So one of the things that they use is they wear headsets when they're at dinner. At the dinner table to be able to receive calls and watch TV. Now, this is something that's very similar to the Google Glass, which was introduced in 2013.
And hasn't been talked about since.
It hasn't really got off to the best start, has it? Now, would you be interested in something like that, a headset?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've seen virtual reality headsets.
Yes.
So mostly used for gaming. And they're really interesting because they've gotten better and better over the past few years, and a lot of the games that are starting to be developed for them are actually really good, because the problem is that when it first came out, the only thing that you could really use with them for was demos.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time that was people taking scenes that already existed in other movies and TV shows and stuff and putting them into a VR experience, because just to demonstrate how it worked more so than how you could play with it. Whereas now you get things like virtual arcades, which we actually saw pop up in Sheffield when we went to the Dockfest.
Yes.
And they're actually there everywhere. You can go to any convention and there will probably be a virtual reality arcade. And they're so cool.
Now, I've never done it myself. Have you had the virtual reality headset on before?
I haven't had a proper one on. I had a makeshift one on at an art exhibit where they used their phone.
Oh, right.
But the problem is that it wasn't very good. It was just a picture of his back garden. He got a grade for that.
I do find it really interesting. However, I do wonder whether it's going to be something that takes off. There was a report actually in a British newspaper this week that the idea of virtual, that the VR headsets aren't actually selling very well at the
moment.
They're
very expensive.
And I think that's the problem.
So they're mostly bought up by big companies and universities to more as a sort of demonstration point than it is for I don't think anybody actually buys them to use them.
Yeah.
Not for proper gaming, at least.
Now, one of the things that I've spoken to a few people who were a little bit older than us, that when they first watched Back to the Future and they saw Back to the Future 2, sorry, when they saw the video calls taking place,
yeah.
Now they thought that that was the most amazing thing ever, that they'll be able to speak to someone through their television. But to be honest, we don't really do that now. We do video calling,
yeah.
But we don't necessarily do it through big televisions like they do in the film.
No, they don't. But you could. There's the possibility of doing it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If you hook up the right stuff to your television. And you do get smart TVs now, which can do all sorts of things. I don't know if any of them do Skype or any other sort of free video call service. But it's not just Back to the Future that had that. A lot of cartoons when I was a kid had them. Pokemon had the whole thing was telephones with faces on.
Yeah.
I meant TV screens, sorry. Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm looking through at other ones. I was letting you speak, Maisie.
There's not really much to say other than Pokemon had them as well.
Other ones that other things from Back to the Future which really stand out to me: hands-free gaming, which has become a big thing since the Kinect The Wii. Well, there was the Wii, and then it's gone on to the Kinect, where you
which
no longer need.
Well, Wii wasn't technically hands-free, but yeah, the Kinect fully is.
But then again, my friend used to have a thing that was well before the Kinect came out. We're talking 2003, 2004. It was for the PlayStation 2, and it was a webcam that you put on top of your television.
What was it called?
And I can't remember, but it sensed when you were in the room. And it had sensors, which meant that I could do these games. Basically, I had to get my face into the... There was a heading game, football, and you had to head the ball, and you had to get your head into the circles on the webcam area. So it was very, very basic technology, but actually something that has then moved on to be something like the Kinect.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is the Kinect... The problem with the Kinect is that you can really only play dancing games.
Yes.
That's mainly what it sells for. Dancing games and fighting games are the two things that it's really good for. But you couldn't play a full actual game with it.
No.
Probably not, at least. I don't think you could.
No. But we want to know, what sort of stuff do you see happen? Because we're going to move on shortly and talk about things that we see happening in our future and in the future.
But there's so much more than Back to the Future.
There is so much more, maybe. Well, what else do you want to touch on before we go on?
What was it? There was lots.
There was so much. Well, if you don't have anything to mind, Maisie, then we're going to have to move on. These were tablet computers. Which we've basically touched on. That was
the main one. Was and I can't remember the proper term for it, which is annoying. What's it called again?
I don't know. There was a...
It's the because they verification via thumb recognition.
Yeah, fingerprint recognition.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that used? I didn't know that was used in Back to the Future.
Yes, it is. It's how he donates money to the Clock Foundation Fund.
I remember, because we started using it a year before I left high school. That was brought in for dinner money. We no longer were... It became a cashless system, and we then went and topped up our fingerprints.
And then we could go pay
with our fingerprints.
I remember it happening, and I remember that they told us the reason they did it was so that you would be less likely to be carrying cash on you to school, and you're less likely to have it taken off you or stolen. The problem is that to put money on your account with your thumb, you had to bring the money into school to put it on the account.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were still bringing the same amount of money to school, but you had to do the extra step of lining up for ages because there was only two machines to put the money in with.
We had that problem as well. It was, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Maisie. But you're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, where Squabblebox, we're talking all about technology today. We've got lots more to talk about. Get in touch. Let us know all about what technological advances you see coming in the future. At Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox, box.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
It's time for a little bit more music now, but stay tuned to Siren FM. Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are Squabblebox. We're talking all about technology today. You can get in touch, let us know all about what technological advances you see coming in the future. Take a prediction. You never know, we might look back at this in 10 years' time on the Trending Topics Network on iTunes. That's where you can find all our shows afterwards. And we'll look back and have some fun and realise that actually, some of the stuff came true. But first of all, I want to give a bit of a shout out to our friends at Fight Factory Wrestling UK. They were on the show at the end of August talking all about their Boiling Point tour. Fight Factory Wrestling has been at Birchwood Leisure Centre on the 28th of August. Then they went to Festival Hall on the 3rd of September. However, this Friday, the 9th of September, will be the final stop on the Boiling Point tour at the X Church in Gainsborough, 6:30 p.m. on the 9th of September. X Church at Gainsborough, the Fight Factory Wrestling Boiling Point tour comes to a close. Adults tickets are £12, concessions £7, and family tickets £32. However, if you order online before the event, with every adult ticket, you get one free child. An amazing deal, an amazing night out for all the family. So get down there, Fight Factory Wrestling at the X Church in Gainsborough. They're very, very good friends of the show, and we would love if you could throw some support there, where you can find out more by going to www.fightfactorywrestling.uk. But, Maisie, talking about technology, and we've had a few messages in. We're going to get into that now. We've got a message on our Facebook fan page, www.facebook.com/squabblebox on siren, from Lynn in Huddersfield, who says, what's the future? The future is a phone that lets me listen to Squabblebox on the TuneIn Radio app at the same time as accepting calls from those inconsiderate people that always phone whilst I'm listening in live.
Now, my mum has the same issue with the app. Now, this is the one problem with the app, is that if you are listening to it on your phone and you get any notifications during the time it's on, it will cut it off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can turn off notifications, so that's one thing to do. But yeah, I do imagine that, as if, I don't know what she wants from that, whether she wants to be able to call people and still be able to listen whilst on the call so the other people can listen in as well? Or does she want us just to stop whilst she answers her phone call? Like,
well, we'll have a special light.
Because that's one thing that a few people... I remember hearing stories about... I've heard comedians say it in the past, where they say that their grandparents, when Sky Plus first came around, they thought, like, when you press pause... That was everybody was paused, and it's an old Peter Kay joke where he turns around and he says, "She's gone to the toilet quite a few times tonight. I'm still 3 hours behind. I haven't seen End of Coronation Street yet because Jean down the road is needing the toilet." But yeah, it's one of those things where you go, Sky Plus and other services like Virgin Media and TiVo, and Maisie's looking at me going, Kai's trying to get all those names in. Other providers are available.
Other television providers
are available. But when you look at those, when you were able to pause television for the first time, to me that was amazing.
Oh, I loved it. Although, to be fair, I was used to watching an awful lot of things on VHS tape by then, so I was used to pausing. But yeah, being able to pause TV was pretty cool. Being able to record TV was pretty cool. And having the on-demand ready. So if there was, like, say that you didn't really know what to watch or there wasn't anything you that you wanted on, you could watch a whole list of stuff. The only problem is that, and this was before streaming websites as well, the only issue with that was that it would only be on for like a month at a time.
Yes.
And before I really learned how to binge watch properly, I would get like halfway through a season of something and then it would just be gone.
Well, that was the thing about BBC iPlayer when it first came out, and ITV Player and other streaming sites like that. It actually, it would only be allowed on the website for 7 days originally.
Yeah,
which to me now, I look back and I go, wow, that's really madness, because now it's at least 30 days. If it's on BBC Three, it's 8 months.
Yeah.
So it's good to see how the technology goes ahead and how we've moved into a different age of television, which I'm sure you'd be able to talk for hours on.
Oh, because, yeah, I really want to.
Yeah, this is your escape from your degree. Not your. You don't want to be talking all about that.
To be fair, while we were doing one of the songs, I did see my dissertation lecturer wander past and I did hide a little bit.
So you've said we've got an email in, Maisie?
We have. We've had an email in from Beth in Huddersfield who says, "Hi, guys. Loving the Back to the Future playlist around the news. I was doing mum dancing around the kitchen while I was waiting for cakes to come out of the oven." She then goes on to say, "The future technology I really wish the future technology I really want is an entire house based on the holodecks from Star Trek Next Generation. Imagine being able to clean and tidy everything with a simple verbal command to an unseen computer. Wouldn't mind having their food replicators either, now I think of it."
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, because do you know what a holodeck is?
Just explain it.
for those who don't know.
I think I do. I might just not know the name of it.
For those who don't know what a holodeck is, it's basically it's like virtual reality, but it's a whole room where you can make things up.
Oh,
it was basically a room that you can adjust to be in any setting. And they spent a lot of time doing that on Star Trek when they couldn't go to a planet, or if they wanted to do something slightly more old-timey.
So this is a real thing that exists?
No.
No, I mean
in Star Trek.
In Star Trek,
yeah. This is a thing that exists in Star Trek, because it's many, many years in the future. And if they want to do something slightly more old-timey, then they'll go into the holodeck and they'll pretend to be in the 1920s.
Oh.
And but the problem is that it's half real life, half reality. So if you get hurt in the holodeck, or if you die in the holodeck, that's it. You're dead.
Would you want to be in this situation then? Would you go and use a holodeck?
Only for like nice things. But I'd go on. I'd do a holodeck day spa.
But there's the risk.
Yeah, but basically, so if you were to have a whole house made out of a holodeck, every room was a holodeck, it would be pretty cool, because then you could make your house look however you want.
Yeah.
It also means that you can hide the mess, and the computer will clean it for you. And the food replicators are kind of self-explanatory, but basically you tell it what you want and it gives you it.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point where there's something like that around?
Not in our lifetime, obviously.
But is it impossible? Because when you think about it, think about how much things have progressed over the last, say, 20 years of our lives.
Yeah.
And we go, well, actually, in another 20 years, then it could be even greater. Because surely technological advances can only speed up.
I don't know. This is the thing. I'm sure there are whole studies done on how quickly whether technology gets faster and faster as we get more technology, whether the next advancement takes a shorter amount of time because of X technology, da da da. I think that would be too complicated to try and actually figure out myself.
Of course.
But the thing is, with the food replicators is basically, I don't know whether they're even possible, because they're taking molecules of nothingness and creating food.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I used to think it was just a dumb waiter. So basically, I used to imagine the Star Trek, actual ships, you had canteens, except but they had like a whole kitchen, and then when people asked for stuff, they'd just like teleport it there. I thought that's what it was. It turns out it's not. It's actually creating the food and making it happen.
I think if anything has been proven over the last sort of couple of years is that actually a lot of this sci-fi stuff can happen.
And, oh yeah, there are tons of books. If you look in tons of books, especially ones that happened like during the 70s and 80s, a lot of them are actually very accurate to what actually happened. Look at 1984 by George Orwell.
Of course.
A lot of that is real now, which is scary.
Oh, it is. But we've got loads more to talk about. We've got another message in here from Gary in Deaton, who says, as you know, I was an entertainer. As you know. as people at home might not know, but he says he was an entertainer in clubs for about 30 years. And when he first started out, he was using a tape recorder and his songs on a single tape. And he had to cue the songs up with a pencil. And then years later... they had mini discs when you could put lots of songs onto one disc, and they use laptops, and now people use laptops and tablets on stage.
Yeah.
But I still remember my dad have it, because my dad was an entertainer, and he had lots of mini discs.
Yeah.
All around. He had a huge pile of mini discs that he used for every show, and CDs. But even mini discs and CDs have gone out of fashion now.
Well, this is the interesting. My mum and dad, I remember, they have a huge collection of box sets, and my grandma especially has so many DVDs because she sees them, buys them, and then never watches them. But my grandma and my parents have lots of DVDs, so many DVDs, box sets, movies, things from my childhood. And all of that sort of stuff. And I look at my DVD shelf. I'm a film and TV student. I have a tiny DVD shelf.
But that's the thing.
Because everything that I've wanted to watch are on streaming sites, or I've downloaded, and I have them ready to watch whenever because I paid for them online.
That's the thing.
Instead,
you've got them in a different medium now.
Yeah.
Everything's being kept in... I don't know the
in
file
the
type, but yeah, in a cloud. Whereas now I had a load of I used to collect wrestling DVDs, big professional wrestling fan. I had a ton of professional wrestling DVDs. I've still got about 15, but I got rid of a good 70% of my wrestling DVDs because I donated them to someone because I had no need for them anymore because I now pay for the WWE Network, which is $9.99 a month, and I can have any pay-per-view I want from history.
And that's the other thing is I have... I remember one of my favourite Christmas memories ever was I was given my own cassette player. It didn't... It was just tapes. That's all it played. I think it might have been a tape and CD, actually. But it was this big sky blue thing with big... And on the stereo speaker bits, it actually had... it was like the little metal grating for the speakers, and it had little pink flowers on them. And it was my favourite present I can ever remember because it was mine and I could play music all I wanted and I didn't have to borrow... I didn't have to share my sister's. But the things that I mainly had on that was audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I still actually listen to audiobooks a lot now, especially at night. And I would listen to the same tapes over and over again because we only had so many and they were mostly Roald Dahl.
I was the same with having... When I first got my iPod Touch and I was able to download podcasts, but that's what my iPod was full of. It was like it was only a small storage space. I think it was like a 15 gig iPod Touch, and I just stored it completely with podcasts. But we're talking all about technology today. You can get in touch in the many different ways on Twitter at SirenFM, on the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
When we get back from this next song, we're going to be talking more about things that we see happening in the future, what technological advances will be in our future. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned to Siren FM.
News, culture, entertainment, and more on Siren 107.3 FM.
Sonic Ocean,
Good afternoon. You are listening to Squabblebox on Siren FM with myself, Maisie Anderson, and the lovely Kai Valentine.
Hello.
This week we are talking all about technology, and we just read out some fantastic suggestions and thoughts from our wonderful listeners who can listen in at
Siren FM. You can message in at Siren FM on Twitter, studio@sirenonline.co.uk on the email, the Facebook fan page, Squabblebox.
Or you can always text in on 077 97 800 716, or send us a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Yes, you can. And that's where you're listening, Maisie.
That's where you're listening.
On the Radio Player app or on a traditional radio. That's another thing about technology that has changed. The idea that we can not only... Because originally, if someone wanted to listen to Siren FM, they would have to... Well, obviously...
They'd have to be in the radius.
Yes. Traditionally, you'd have to be in the radius. But now you can listen to radio from all over the place, which has been great for me since I've moved to Lincoln, in that I can still go on the TuneIn Radio Player app and listen to some of my favourite radio shows from radio stations back in Huddersfield and back in Yorkshire.
I like that local radio stations can now become more regional. I like it.
As much as technology has gone forward, though, I do like that on my... Because I know I've taken the mickey out of my phone a little bit.
You're not very nice to your phone.
I've not been very nice. And, you know, it's a bit terrible. And I won't say the brand or anything like that on the make.
to protect the innocent.
Exactly. But one thing that has been good is... Because I don't have... I always complain that I don't have internet on my phone. And I don't have... any music on my phone or anything like that. Well, except for the default music. The default music that's on every phone that's really, really rubbish.
Basically just the ringtones.
But what it does have, my phone, that smartphones don't tend to have anymore, is radio.
Now, my phone does.
I can get FM radio on it. iPhones can't, though.
Yeah. Maybe the iPhone 7 can.
Maybe the iPhone 7 can. Maybe that's why they're getting rid of the AUX port. but that's one of the things that I really liked about it, is that because I've started going for jogs and jogging, and it's meant that whilst I'm out, I can put in my headphones and listen to Siren FM whilst I'm out jogging, which is fantastic. And it also means that I'll know... if I've gone too far, because you get so distracted
that you run 8 miles out of the radius.
If I lose the signal, that means I've gone too far and I need to turn back home. So that's really useful. But I've loved listening to Siren FM. Mm. I was out last Thursday and I was listening to Siren Folk, which is a show every last Thursday of the month, I believe, that I never thought that I would listen to, because it's just not something that I would personally go out of my way to listen to. But I listened to it, I loved it, and I will listen to it again. And it's been great discovering Siren shows that I've not had the chance to listen to yet by going out jogging and listening through my headphones. But we're talking about technology today.
We've talked about nostalgic technology. We've talked about what's presently happening. What's presently happening, things that were predicted in the future by TV shows and by sci-fi and by movies.
So that only leaves things that we predict will happen in the future.
Because we're clearly qualified.
To
really observe futurology.
A drama student and a film and TV student from the University of Lincoln are well qualified in talking about technology. We don't need any of those engineering students on here. We can make our own decisions.
Although, if the engineering students would like to join in, please feel free.
you know the details, guys. So one of the things that I think I would like, I think that, and this is a serious point,
okay,
I do think that there'll be more technology around the home that's going to be happening over the next sort of 10 to 15 years, where we will take more control over the home. We've seen it already where they have these smart houses, where you, and I think that's something that's going to be the next generation of household technology,
is having technology embedded in the actual building,
and you will be able to control it all from your smartphone, for example. I think that's something that I would personally like, and that because I always remember watching. Right, this is going to take me. This is going to show my really bad taste in movies. Right, I do not laugh, and I know you're going to laugh, Maisie. But we're on the radio, and we need to make conversation. The Game Plan with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Carry on.
One of his first pre-wrestling movies was for the Disney. It was made by Disney, and he played a. Missy's laughing.
I'm trying really hard not to, sorry.
And he played a football star, an American football star, and like he had his own really flashy pad, which sounds really flashy pad. Why am I using those terminology?
That's probably what they called it at the time. And, but yeah, he had like a penthouse.
Yeah, it was a penthouse suite, actually. It's so predictable, isn't it, Disney Channel? But one of the things that I remember about it
was the opinions of Kai Valentine and not the opinions of Maisie Anderson or Squabblebox or Zarin FM.
But one of the things that I found funny about it was that he had a tablet which he could control his whole house with.
And this was like, pre-tablet.
Like turn the... Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it was a tablet sort of touchscreen thing, but I think that's all you could do on it. And you could close the curtains, open the curtains, play music,
dim the lights,
things like that. And that was just something that I always saw, and I went, "Wow, I want a house like Dwayne Johnson."
Is that why you're so attached to your iPad now?
Yeah, exactly. I'm longing for that house.
Yeah, I mean, one movie that I really like is the movie Her, which is all about AIs, and it's in the future. It's a little bit, it has some technologies that are new, like the main character works at a letter writing company, which sounds a bit strange if you haven't seen the film, but it's basically the idea that this guy writes handwritten letters for a living.
Oh, right.
But he doesn't actually write them by hand. His computer does it, but he's the one who tells it what to write. And it's really weird, the idea that you can send a love letter to someone that's been written by someone else.
It's
a really strange company. But that's one thing that I really want is a technology that's actually coming up quite a lot, is writing to screen recognition.
Yes.
So being able to write on special pieces of paper or on special tablets that will then recognise your handwriting and go, yep, that's an E. Write the word, and I can actually see what you're doing, which is really great if you're like me and you can't touch type very well, or like I have this weird thing where when I'm writing notes, I can't type notes.
Can you not?
I can, but I find it really difficult. I find that it stilts my sort of brain flow, whereas if I'm doing it by hand, I tend to write more and I tend to write better notes.
I am a little bit opposite in that I very rarely write by hand now because my handwriting has always been terrible. Now, I don't want to blame my parents, but my dad's handwriting is terrible as well.
Well, you're also left-handed, so you've already kind of shot in the foot.
Genetically, I'm not too great anyway.
Don't say that.
I'm only kidding, Dad.
Other Kai Valentines are available.
so my handwriting has always been bad, and I've tried to improve it, and they tried to help me in school, but being left-handed, they just sort of went, well, you're a lost cause. But that's one of the things. I've always found it easier to type up notes and things. Now, I want to touch on something which was shown in Back to the Future, but hasn't come true.
Okay.
And that is, do you think that we will ever have flying cars?
I don't see the need for them.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, Maisie. Because I think it would be too difficult to work out. I want to sit here and go, I think it would be too difficult to work out the laws and try and get everything sorted that way. But then part of me goes,
you know how long it takes to get a pilot's license?
Yeah.
Imagine having to go through all of that every time you have to renew your driving license.
You never have to renew your driving license.
Do you not?
No.
Really?
Yeah, you never have to renew.
I must be thinking
license.
Of a different country where you have to do that. Then.
No.
I thought you had to renew it. Never mind. But yeah, my the thing that I actually quite like, Google in particular have started working on self-driving cars.
Yes.
And they're actually mainly being made for elderly people who can't drive anymore.
That's a really good idea.
The only problem is that a lot of people are worried about the fact that there's no human element to it.
Which means,
if there's an emergency, what will the car do?
And also, if there is a problem and an accident, who is at fault?
Yeah, I mean, they do say that they're working on ways of making it so that if you are driving and there's a problem, you can manually override it. But yeah, it can be an issue. And I think I like the idea of self-driving cars, and but the problem is I'm scared of a world where we end up like the wheelie chair people from WALL-E.
I was just about to say that. I know exactly
what you mean. I don't want
to
live in that world.
blissful
ignorance. I think that's, where we just drive around not doing anything.
I think that's one of the good things about flying cars, is about this whole thing with flying cars, is that we've moved away from wanting flying cars, and we're actually thinking more practically and going, actually, no, the things that we want more are quieter cars, like the engines to be quieter.
Actually, this is the thing. And quieter cars are actually more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because you can't hear them coming.
Yeah, that's true. But there's reasons why the reason why they've got quieter is because they have been working on, they don't want to use fossil fuels anymore.
So they're working on more and more electric cars,
which
yeah.
I think is the next way to go. We're going to be, I think, when we are, when we're 75, we're going to be turning around going, wow, I can't believe that we lived in a world where we didn't use electric cars.
I'm really looking forward to the day when I get to turn around to my grandchildren and tell them how good they have it.
Yeah.
I would love that. Either that, but the thing is, by the time we're 75, there might be an apocalypse. We don't know. So we might be like the last remnants alive, and we're going, oh, I wish that we'd still had fossil fuels.
All we had when we were younger was was Virgin TiVo. You don't know you're born.
We had TiVo, we had Wi-Fi, we had phones, we had iPads, none of this holographic nonsense. To be fair, I'm already turning into one of those people.
I
look at people who are only like 5 years younger than me, which makes me a huge hypocrite because of what I said at the beginning.
I think every generation does the same.
I look around at people, like I look at people who are like 12 and they've got iPhones, and I get really jealous. Because I didn't get my first phone until I was 13, and it was a brick that my sister bought me from Woolworths.
Let's finish off with one final thing, and that is going back to the Back to the Future side of things, when we talk about things that didn't exactly work out from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Let's take a minute to just give some recognition to a piece of technology which just didn't last. It didn't last. And that is fax machines.
Aww.
Everyone thought that they were going to be a thing of the future, and now we just go, no, we don't want fax machines. What's the use for them? We can just keep everything on screens.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's take a moment to have respect for fax machines.
We do a minute of silence, but for
but
radio...
But it's radio purposes, it's radio. Which is never great.
That being said, though, actually, I found that ever since I got a Chromebook...
All right.
The laptop thing that's all Google orientated, I've used the G Drive a lot, and it's actually really helped with my work, because I constantly have files I have to keep hold of, and it works really well when you have people sending you documents all the time to keep them in one place, but it's a place where I can actually access them anywhere. So rather than just having it on a pen drive where every time I want to look at something I have to plug it into a computer, I can have it on my tablet or my iPad or even my phone. And so if I need to know something from a script or something, and I need to look it up, I can look it up within seconds on my phone. And then that's that there. So I don't have to carry around nearly as many pieces of paper anymore as well.
Final question before we leave.
Yes.
Do you prefer Kindles, or do you prefer having a normal book? Do you prefer reading off a screen, or do you prefer having the paper in front of you?
Because of the way my eyesight is, I find it very difficult to read off a screen.
I'm a little bit the same. I don't mind reading off screens for articles and things like that, and I do a lot of work on there.
Reading full text on screens, especially because the way that our library works is that we have an awful lot of e-journals.
Yeah.
Reading a full chapter on a screen I find really difficult, partly because, like I say, basically the way I work, I find it easier to do things by hand. So what reading a thing on a screen and then writing by hand is very difficult.
If I'm doing work or reading big texts, or if I am reading a book at night to relax, I like to have the physical book in front of me, because I feel like that helps me switch off a little bit. Whereas if I'm reading a quick article, if I'm doing stuff for Siren FM, and like when we're planning for the US election coverage, I always have my iPad in front of me, because I can flick through lots and lots of details without shuffly papers.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that I do wonder if we'll get to a point where we use less and less paper.
I think we've got to. we can't carry on. Like, I don't want to leave this on an environmental message, but it's true. We're going to get to a point where we won't have a choice.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to end today's show, unfortunately.
Let's happy note.
Happy note,
let's
amazing.
Let's think of a happy note.
Happy note. something else.
We didn't have to endure Jaws 19.
We didn't have to endure Jaws 19. And that is technology at its finest. Thank you for joining us on today's show as two people who know nothing about technology talk for 2 hours about technology. We hope you've enjoyed today's show. And we will be back on Monday with hashtag Ask Us Anything. Send in your questions to @Squabblebox on Twitter. You can find us throughout the week @Squabblebox on Twitter or on our Facebook fan page, Squabblebox. Give us a like, give us a follow. We love hearing from you. Let us know how you're finding the shows. You can find all our other shows backed up on the Trending Topics Network on iTunes. Get in touch with us on Twitter if you need help finding that as well. But it's been a great show today, and I can't wait for Monday with hashtag Ask Us Anything. Maisie, how are we going to end today's show? What song are we going and leaving with?
Ooh, why don't we leave with No Sleep by Twin Atlantic?
Stay tuned to Siren FM. Thank you for listening to this episode of Squabblebox on Siren FM and on the Trending Topics Network, right here on the Trending Topics Network. We encourage you to check out all the other great material that Siren FM put out on a weekly, daily, hourly basis by going to www.sirenonline.co.uk. We also encourage you to check out all the other great material that the Trending Topics Network is putting out there by going to www.trendingtopicsnetwork.com, where you can find other such podcasts as the European Uppercut Podcast, Rasslecast, the Spanish Announce Table, Lou Chat, Old School at the Movies, 10 to 1, The Tuts Experience, One Up Club's Heads Up, and much, much more. And of course, don't forget to come back and join us for the next episode of Squabblebox.